The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Now, let me take the opportunity to welcome inside Miss Amber Grant. Good afternoon, Miss Grant.
Thank you, Davey. I'm glad to be here.
Right. Now, Miss Amber, we're going to be talking about some situations or, you know, just general dialogue as it relates to children and child abuse and all those kind of things in this country. Now, recently, now, this is not for you to make a pronouncement on or give any word on. I believe it's in the hands of investigators. But I saw a video that was making its rounds on the social medias about a woman on Independence Square disciplining a child and literally choking. The child is heard on the video saying, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." And then there was the intervention of someone who appeared to be a security officer from somewhere. And of course, later on in a subsequent video, police officers intervene. So I welcome you. One of my first questions to you this afternoon is, what is the first response that citizens should do when witnessing child abuse?
So now this is sometimes a pet peeve for me, because the first thing we do is pull out our phones and record.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget that we have to use the same phones to call in the abuse.
True.
So this is why we tell persons, you see a child being abused, you have to call the authorities. You call 996, which is our hotline, which is 24 hours. And as I tell persons, you don't have to have money on your phone to call us. It's toll-free. Or our other number is 800-2014. Or you call the police, 999, and they will have someone respond immediately. So you need, while you're videotaping, make that call at the same time. That's the only way we will get it.
Now, I saw the video, and... Mm-hmm. It was very disheartening. You know, in your years of experience, can you shed some light in terms of, you know, what are some, as a matter of fact, disciplining a child? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing against the, you haven't broken any law if you discipline your child. Yes or no?
So, according to the law, only a biological parent is allowed to discipline their child.
Pause. Only a biological parent, according mm-hmm. to law, is allowed to discipline. Now, when we look at the terms discipline, let's examine discipline a little bit before we go forward. What is mm-hmm. discipline as far as you are concerned in your capacity, as we mentioned earlier, you know, you in charge of investigations and
intervention units, yes.
Oh, very child.
So discipline is where, so a child has done something mm-hmm. which does not set, it's mm-hmm. not aligned to the societal norms and values. They mm-hmm. break a rule, mm-hmm. they commit an infraction. Mm-hmm. So discipline is intended to teach the young person that no, this is not a desired behavior, this is not a desired response. And it's a way to teach the child how to appropriately respond to different scenarios, different triggers. Mm-hmm. Now, what we tend to think about that punishment and discipline is the same thing, and it is not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Punishment tends to embarrass a child, whereas discipline empowers a child to make better choices. So, for instance, I can discipline my son in either two ways. If we're in the grocery and he does something, I can punish him by embarrassing him, by shouting at him, or I can discipline him by pulling him aside privately and saying, "Hi, that is not the way you behave, and I expect better of you." Okay. So there's a difference. So whereas we have been conditioned to think you embarrass the child and the behaviors will stop, that does not always work. So which is why we're trying to teach parents to get away from the physical punishment. There are different ways to discipline a child because you're teaching appropriate behaviors.
So back it up a bit and just revisit the statement that you opened with that question. There's a difference between, there's embarrassing. Repeat that little area that you just mentioned again.
with the law?
No.
Or the difference between?
Yes, discipline and...
Right. So discipline is different from punishment.
Right. One embarrasses and one teaches.
Correct.
I was of the impression that both will teach a lesson.
Both can teach a lesson. They both can. But one tends to demoralize a child, and the other one tends to uplift a child. Think about it. Your parents would have embarrassed you. They were disciplining you. Yes, but it was very public, and there were persons around. Take yourself back to that time and tell me how you felt when that happened.
Well, I will be very honest. My experience of being publicly shamed, as it were, during a disciplining or punish, well, disciplining, let's say disciplining, right? Because punishment is something administered differently according to what you're mentioning. When I was disciplined as a child publicly, what happened, I felt shame and embarrassed. I was teased by my, you know, my fellow neighbors, especially, could happen home and out in the yard and stuff. I go on outside, my mom. But what I learned is that my mother, in all fairness, my mother would have been advocating for me to do something in the house, whether it's to clean my room, get my homework done, or, you know, the dishes. There was something, there was clarion call for me to adhere to. Come and deal with this. In my state of disobedience, my continued or repeated disobedience to my parents, they would have disciplined me in private, or punished me, as it were, in private home. I come inside and it's a good licking or some kind of buff up. And guess what I choose to do? Repeat the same offense that I was spoken to about. So then my mom decided to come out in the yard with the belt and wake me up with a few lashes proper. And then I get up now and I run inside and I did what I had to do. But I'm feeling shame now because, yeah, boy, your mother beat you. Yeah, best you go inside, you know, because, you know, your mother coming outside here. Yeah, your mother is dread, boy. But guess what? I brought it on myself. So you know what was the lesson I learned? She ain't going to have to repeat that again. Because I don't want my mom to embarrass me again.
Correct.
So,
but not all children respond to such disciplinary methods. The children of today are different from the Gen X population. And I am part of the Gen X.
What is Gen X?
And I'm not going to give up my age, sir.
Miss Lady.
But those born
Then let me ask you a question, right? Have you ever had bread and condensed milk?
Have I ever?
Had bread and condensed milk.
No, I never liked that. As a child, never liked that.
Did you eat it? Have you ever eaten it?
No, I have never eaten
it. So how could you know you don't like it if you never tried?
Because I don't like soggy bread.
All right, that's a good answer. I good with that. The fact, but I will tell you a little secret. I ask you that question to give away your age. The fact that you know about it means that you come from that era, Gil.
Correct. That's still not telling my age, though.
Well, I have never had it, so I and you in the same boat, right? We are both Trinidadians, and I never had it either. The difference with me and you knew it back then. I only knew it as a big man. So... I thought I'd share that with you. I like this. So we're talking about that. Go ahead.
This is why I'm saying we have to look at different ways of disciplining our children. So our children are very techie.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
They live on their phones and their tablets and the computers. And if they could bathe with it, they will bathe with it. If they could sleep and hug it up, they will sleep and hug it up.
I have two sons and I had to wake up at 11:15 last evening and literally buff them because I gave them a blight around 8:30. But I knock out. I knock out, the mother knock out. Fall asleep, tired. Wake up and check and realize he's the light on. I get so angry. I fly in the room, grab everything, and I realize how techie they are and they're addicted to this thing. So we're talking about
learning devices.
But then
that's a form of discipline.
All right. But do you know that these children these days adapt to, okay, so I'm going to take away my device. So I'll play with my Legos. Or I'll play with my other cars and not take on the device. What do you do then?
That is true. So this is where we have to sit down and have that conversation with each other. There are different ways. So my son, he's a teenager. And you know, teenage boys, mama can't tell them anything. And sometimes I find myself, I could get loud at him, like I did yesterday morning before we left the house. And his father then took a turn in his skin. But then we know him, and he's the type of child who likes to play games. And my husband has set up a thing. If I tell you by 8:30, I need you off. And we realize 8:45, you still on. My husband has this thing set up where either the internet gets cut off or some loud noise goes off in his room through the speakers in his room. And then he knows, oh, crap, yeah, time to come off. And then we sometimes ban him from the games for a while until we see behavior change. So you have to know your child and know what works for them. Licks, like, as we knew it from long ago, that is not really working again. And I also tell parents, the discipline that you use, the disciplinary method that you use, must match the crime, and it must match the age of the child. And I like to use anecdotal examples, so please bear with me. I would have had a 2-year-old child, and the report was physical abuse. And I remember asking mommy, how do you discipline a child? Oh, I give him a little lash. I say, you hit him, you give him licks with your hand. And the little boy understood what I said. He ran inside and brought out, you know, those thick leather belts.
Whoa.
Those rasta men.
Yeah. I have one.
He promptly gave it to me, and mommy's trying to pull it. So I said, this is what you're hitting him with? Whoa. She said, yes. I said, but he's 2.
Wow.
At 2 years old, toddlers are touching and they're learning their environment through touch and taste.
True.
I said, you don't hit this child with a belt. Are you mad? So again, the punishment must fit the crime as well as the age of the child. This is what we tell parents.
Well, I remember, I'm not going to lie to you. You know, we're going to talk open here because I'm not afraid of saying what I have to say. I had a belt. When my aunt was, before she passed away, I used to live at their house for some time. She had a belt called Blackjack. Blackjack was a leather belt. And when she say bring Blackjack, you know you're going to get a cut tail. I had a belt home called Brong Boy.
Oh.
And I remember, because it was a brong leather belt, I remember, you know, my son, my eldest son got me so angry. You know, he was doing something and he wasn't listening. And you know, long time your mother used to pile up the licks.
Yes.
I kind of pile up the licks now, boy. I say, when you see I hold you, I get to realize my mother's tonation. I get to understand that when you see I put my hands on you, I understand that quite well now, because, you know, you don't really want to beat your children, you know. You don't want to beat them.
You don't.
You don't. You love them. So I don't want to beat you. So in my mind, yeah, boy, somebody now tell me Blackjack 21 lashes. No, boy. Blackjack was a leather belt that my aunt, may she rest in peace, used to pull out for me and my cousins. When Blackjack come out, everybody straight. So
it was
a black leather belt, everybody straight.
Right.
And I loved my aunt. They loved their mom. We grew up, we play cards together as adults, you know, and she passed away, sadly, a few years ago. But I had this belt, brong one, called Brong Boy. I say, Brenya, bring Brong Boy. And I remember my son got me so angry. And I fire a lash to hit him with the same belt and miss and hit myself. Well, here now, tears come down my eye, you know. Then I realized I don't need to hit you 5 and 6 times with this belt. One lash and you good. Because anything beyond 2 and 3 lashes will be abuse. Which I never did it, eh? But that one lash helped me to appreciate the power of this belt and the effect it will have on my child. So when I hit him one, all the senses anybody wake up and it's a done deal. Now, if I didn't miss and hit myself, I might arrest about 4. You understand?
And we tend to discipline when we are angry too.
And that's bad. Let's take a call.
Overboard.
Let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Hello. All right, call us back at 627-3223 or 625-2257. We are chatting with Miss Amber Grant, and she holds a very salient position here in the is it Children's Authority?
Yes, it is. Right. Children's Authority of Trinidad and Tobago.
She's the manager, investigations and intervention. That means she will
acting manager.
Yeah, I saw the age here, but I don't know. Here is not Hollywood now. Nobody, everybody else acting. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good people.
Good afternoon, great you.
I want to ask, her name is Miss Grant?
Miss Grant, yes.
Yes. Do you think Miss Grant, because I am of the opinion, you see, flogging, especially when you're angry, well, any kind of flogging, I am of the opinion that that introduces violence.
She thinks that when you flog a child, you are being violent and you introduce violence to the children. My mother cut my tail proper, and I'm not a violent guy. I got licks. Miss Amber got licks. Miss Amber, you got licks, right? Miss Amber?
See, you've gone soft on me again.
Miss Amber, you was given licks as a child?
I was,
yeah.
And I think my mother's listening too. So yes, I was.
And the police ever lock you up?
No,
exactly.
We didn't have the Children's Authority. We didn't have the Children's Act then.
Well, right. But the thing about it is, you were disciplined physically. You were given licks, literally. A little spanking, because you was misbehaving. And today you are a manager of a very reputable organization. So a little licks in between and too bad, is it? Is it? You tell me. I'm asking.
So a spank now and again, no. That's why I'm saying the punishment must meet the crime.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't expect someone, my son is 15,
mm-hmm.
I will not hit him with a belt. Number one, I will break my hand because he's taller than me. I will not hit him with a belt.
Yeah,
no. So you have to look for innovative ways to discipline. If a little child, if after 1, 2, 3, and 20 times they're telling me the same thing, you'll get a little spank on your bottom, yes. You might get 2 on your bottom.
Right.
But that should not be the go-to method each and every time.
Okay. But the spanking, now, as a 15-year-old, you have a child 15 years. Let me take our next call with you here. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Murray, and your guest here.
Miss Amber Grant.
Miss Grant?
Yes.
I really and truly have a question. Now, the kids today, as you rightfully say, and we are seeing it literally in the island of Trinidad and Tobago, they are very aggressive and sometimes very violent.
Yes.
Youths.
Yeah.
Amongst the youth pop, their peers. And you're seeing it evidently in schools, especially, and when they go to, like for instance, the malls, etc., their expressions are very violent, and you saw that in C3, I believe, a few days ago, where a young boy got permission from his father, he's 16 years old, for the first time to go out in line with his peers from school, and they went to C3, and on C3, the Bacchanal was left to be seen on the World Wide Web. Now, this question really is for you to really see, why are these youths so violent? Is it because of the persons that they are surround themselves with, or is it because of their human scenario or their family upbringing and the parents are lacking? Because it's very even difficult for me to try to understand the thought processes of an individual so young to be walking around with items of, I will call, mass destruction to affect another individual, when they themselves can't even take a fowl, a chicken, and wring its neck, but they would see an individual, their peer, in front of them physically, looking just like them, and pull their whatever mass destruction weapon against an individual, but they cannot hold a chicken and kill it. I don't know. Could you answer?
I think you're asking me why are our young people so aggressive and violent? Is that what he's asking?
I think that's what he's asking, yes.
It could be a number of reasons. A child, it could be what they're being exposed to at home or in their neighborhood, in their environment. It could be the peers that they're associating with. It could be a number of reasons that a child is violent. A child could be being bullied, and their way of dealing with that is to lash back and to lash out. Some of us teach our children, you better not let nobody hit you, you better lash back and make sure they don't get back up. So that is their training to be violent. So it could be a number of reasons why our young people are now violent.
You know, coming down from that, let me take another call for you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I think a lot of people don't get that all children are not the same. For example, I used to get licks when I was small, but I never thought licks was the reason I changed my behavior. Right? I always thought that they were frustrated, they didn't understand, and that's why they're doing that. And I didn't think the licks work on me. As a matter of fact, it had a reverse effect on me. I would become a little more hardened if you lash me, because I just would not accept it, right? But I just also think about other children possibly being like that too, and try to search for tools that I could use instead of that. Because, yes, it is true that to some children, that introduces them to the idea of a violent response to things you don't like. That is very true. Psychologists have long worked that out. I think we have another problem, too. Although I understand what she is saying, I think she should be careful of using statements like punishment fit the crime. You can't talk about little children as committing crime. I know she don't mean it that way. It's a euphemism for something else. But how people talk and how people think that sometimes come out in behaviors now. So I would just kind of like, I'll just kind of like watch that. Anyhow, I go.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier, and I agree with the caller where he said, you know, he said he got licks and he got more hardened. So different children respond differently to different forms of discipline. This is why it's important for you to know what works best for your child. And not, you can have two children in the house and each one of them react differently to the different forms of discipline. You just have to know which one works best for your child or children.
You know, I have a next call for you. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Murray, and to your guest, good evening again. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up with a poor family of nine siblings, including me, that's 10. And my mother was always the individual to shoulder the family. And when I say shoulder, in every aspect of the word. In other words, she used to make sure your meals are made, that you dress properly, you speak properly, you go to school with your hair combed properly, etc., etc. And if it is you did something wrong and she is privy to it, she doesn't care if all 10 did wrong. All 10 will look forward to a very good blessing at the end of the day. In other words, licks like fire. Now that trained each one of us to be honest, hardworking, truthful individuals in our adult life. Unfortunately, the politicians of the day get involved in day-to-day lives of the human being. For instance, when the education minister then from the UNC, ex-prime minister, presented her sorts of punishment, it was removed by politicians. And now you're seeing the repercussions of these children, so-called children, that is stabbing and fighting and kicking and literally brutalizing themselves now in Trinidad and Tobago. Now, I'm not saying, well, you know, but the point of the fact is, and look at, for instance, the United States of America, the rights of a woman's body. Again, the politicians got involved, and now they are saying, well, you cannot destroy a fetus or a life in a woman's thing. You must, no matter what the consequence. Now, when these things happen, you stand for the consequences of it. In our small island, truly and really, truly, Mr. Brown, we cannot, we do not have the equipment, the manpower. The Children's Authority sometimes is, well, as everything else, you can't be here, there, and everywhere. Now, yes, people will call the police, but guess what? We are a small island with 2 million vehicles and 1 million population. And it is sometimes very difficult to get on spot. Now, you know, on the interim, the children fight and kill themselves and others. So, again, it really and truly becomes the situation of training. The parents these days is at fault. Turn it however you want to turn it. Right? You and I will train our children. Internet is cut off at a certain hour and they will comply. But there are some parents that are very delinquent, sorry to say. And it's not because of poverty. It's because of simple lack of attention, lack of love. Showing the your children love and attention is the key in solving, I believe, 85-95% of the problems that these so-called children are involving themselves with. If you show them love and give them the attention, you wouldn't have this conversation. So I don't know if I'm wrong in saying, or I don't know, but thanks for listening, you and your guest.
All right, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Miss Amber Grant, you want to respond to that, or you may take another call on the wings?
We could take another call.
All right.
I hear his points, and then
you understand. Hello, good afternoon.
Good
afternoon. You know, one thing I want to say in relation to the presentation by the last caller is that while it is that he's well-meaning, I think he needs to get into the 21st century. When Kamala Prasad Bisesa went to the parliament and she brought in the law of abolishing corporal punishment in school, that was a necessity, and it is one that I applauded. Because, you know, there's the United Nations law on children, right, on the rights of a child. And we subscribe to that. And in subscribing to that, that is one thing we must also do, that a teacher does not have the right to apply corporal punishment to your child. And there's absolutely nothing that is wrong in that. The problem that we have in homes today is that we have a lot of homes where parents are not empowered, where parents are impoverished, where parents find it hard to make a dollar when the day comes, where the several frustrations are visited upon them, and then they revisit that frustration onto their children. So I am one for ensuring that you empower and you uplift the parent and allow the parent to be in a position to protect, love, and guide their child. Because if you do not do that, this proliferation of parents being angry with the children, beating them, kicking them, choking them, all sorts of things. It had an incident about 6 years ago where a parent took a child hand, a girl child hand, and placed it on what we would call in Karini a tower or a baking stone hot and burnt the child hand. The magistrate gave her 3 years in jail, but in 3 months' time she was out because a lawyer filed an appeal. So at the end of the day, it is the anger and different disappointment that visited upon parents that caused them to wreak havoc upon their children. And it's wrong. There's no excuse for that. But the society should look very carefully of empowering and parents and so that they would be much more better parents. And listen to your comments.
All right. Thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Eric, political twang to it in this, on every sphere of life in this Twin Islands state, right? I mentioned Kamala removing it when she was the Minister of Education then and when she was the opposition leader or member of parliament. I don't know what she removed it. I understand all of that. Yes, today is the 21st century, and there's a lot of stress. You can see it. Literally, you saw it on the girl that was on Independence Square and was choking her child, you mentioned. And I saw the video, right? There are a lot of stresses that parents go through. Yes, I do believe that. Mm. But guess what? If he wants to talk politically, there are programs in ministries to go to certain villages on the whole, across the Twin Islands state, and actually survey the families that is impoverished, the children, if they have any, past school, if they're going to school. All of these things you used to do a survey with to identify individuals that is impoverished. He comes on the radio and talks, and failed to recollect or remind himself that the ministries have various departments and they don't do their work no more. But guess what? When election come around, they're making sure your name is on the list. Oh, how many people voted? You see, everything in this island is upside down. And there lies your problem. If it is that the ministry have these arms that is empowered to come and ask these questions, literally go to the houses that is poor and impoverished. Okay, then of course, the same ministries then can make recommendations for help. And guess what? It will help the family and it will stop the children from being what they are today. If that is the solution, well, that was always a solution in 1965, in 1960. But guess what? In the 20th century, everybody is left to their own faculties, let's see, to their own. And nothing the ministries provide is implemented or done because people don't want to work for their salary. And guess what? The joke about it is I am paying them to sit down and twiddle. We all are. We are all contributing to this scenario and coming on radio stations and on television to ask ourselves, why is this occurring over and over and over? Well, guess what? We allow it. The authorities, we can't depend on them. It's too much, right? It is too much. But guess what? If they have the help of these various ministries to get up from their butts, go into the villages that they know is poor people and have 5 and 15 children, have no food to eat, who could tell me any of the constituencies and the MPs or the councillors knows exactly who's living there and how much poor people that can't even buy a bread are brown? They know they can't answer the question. They know we all pay for these things. The working public of Trinidad and Tobago pay for it. So when are we going to justify our monies that is available to the poor people in this island? What are they doing? Nothing, bro, nothing. But they're coming on the TV because they're PNM activists, right? On the radio and talking all of these, this is available, that is. But guess what? The human being needs to do it. The people working in the department has to get up and make sure they do it. Why are they not doing it? Why are there still children on the roadside begging? And they say it's against the law, but yet still it's still seeing them, the mothers of these people, whether it's outsiders or not. It is a human being. Thank you, Brown.
All right, thank you so much. Amy, Miss Amber Grant, listen, one of the things I wanted to ask you that was back in 2023, there was a report by the Children's Authority of an increase in child abuse. Has that figure changed? What are the figures like now?
Yes, those figures have drastically changed. So I can tell you, as at March 2024, we are now seeing 1,607 calls. And that is by month, just now, because I'm watching the figures here, by month, on average, that is about 536 calls per month. And that's just till March.
So then let me ask you a question. When you all receive a call for child abuse, a neighbor calls, do you all act immediately? What is the protocols in place when a call comes in to you guys about a child or children being abused?
Okay, so once a call comes in to us, there's a process. Now, if it is a fresh case, what we call high and immediate, that we have to go out now, it is assigned, the case is created, and it is assigned to our emergency response team. They will go out. Now, they tend to work more after 4. They kick in after 4, and so they do the graveyard shift late at night. If it is not an acute case, what we call an acute case, which is high and immediate, the case is then created and assigned to the relevant investigation and intervention team based on geographic location. The case is then assigned to a social worker who will then have to make contact with the family or the school, if it came through the school, to initiate the investigation. Now, the time frames differ depending on the case that comes in. So I cannot give like timelines, but I can tell you we have within 30 days to action a new case. So we have any time between as soon as it comes to 30 days after to action a case.
But 30 days is a stretch, because I'm thinking if a child is being physically abused and you're telling me,
which is
legal.
No, which is why I said it depends on the case that comes in. So if you're telling me it's sexual abuse and the perpetrator is still in the house, that is high, we go out immediately.
Got you. Good afternoon.
Right?
Good afternoon, yeah. Brother Davy, and good afternoon to Ms. Grant.
Hello?
Ms. Grant, you're hearing me?
Yeah, we're hearing you.
Ms. Grant, I have a question for you. When we see videos of children in school fighting, and the principal gets hold of the two people involved, or two children involved in the fight, and he finds out which one is the wrong one, and decides to suspend that child for 5 days, but after that 5 days, the child comes back to school, what does the Children Authority do, or what intervention does they have to ensure that the child that was suspended, when it comes back out, do not really get back involved with that anger to perpetrate on you or the other one that was being beaten upon? Because we have children in school today who is vaping. Principals in schools knows about it. And all they could do is just talk to the kids. They're not even talking to the parents. And I think that Children Authority should supposed to step in with the guidance officers to bring some sort of intervention that can bring this thing down. Because recently there was a video from Barapo West Secondary School where a guy was beating an ex guy, and the guy was getting beat up when he was running away, and the guy was wanted to be beaten, continue to run down. And I get to understand that he get 5 days suspension. So I'm asking, what type of intervention you, as the president or the person in charge of the Children Authority, does with the schools, with the principal and guidance officer? Thank you very much, Davy and Ms. Grant.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, so what happens is, now there's the Student Support Services Division, which has school social workers and guidance officers. So the guidance officers don't usually deal with infractions in school, it's school social workers. So in the event there's a fight, children are suspended, the school social, so there's a referral that is done to the Student Support Services Division for the school social worker to get involved. The school social worker does say the same things that we do at Children's Authority, because we are all social workers. They go in, they have a conversation with the parents, they talk with the children, they do home visits, they check in with the community to figure out what is happening with this child at home. And then interventions begin, which we call psychosocial interventions. It may mean having weekly or bi-weekly sessions with the child to teach them ways of controlling their anger, trying to figure out what is triggering them to be angry, to be fighting in school. So there are lots of different avenues that the school social workers take. Sometimes it's a collaboration between the Children's Authority and the school social workers. But one thing we do not do, we do not duplicate interventions for a child, because that is a waste of the limited resources. If one unit is actually giving the counseling to the child, there won't be a duplicate counseling session with somebody else, because it's very hard for a child to build rapport with one person, and then you're telling them I have to repeat the same thing to somebody else, and then to a third person. It doesn't make sense. So once the school social worker is involved, they can do the interventions with the child there at the school.
Okay, that is good news. Let me take our next call here for you. Good afternoon. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, baby. Sorry, I was just a little bit distracted. I've been listening, although I've been listening and listening, you know, to see what and trying to analyze what sense come out of this detailed discussion. And you know, it boils down to one thing to me, is that the onus is on a parent, right, to bring his child up the way he wants to, and I stress the way he wants to, and that speaks for itself, because I know I want to draw in my case before I come to my drastic point, right? So I know want my child to be disciplined, right, educated, right, being associated with sports, Boy Scouts, and all this kind of thing, and I see the future that I want my son to be an aspiring doctor or a pilot or something, you know, that is he would be a respected citizen. So I grew him up, you know, I try to groom him in that aspect, and think, no, my neighbor next door, while my son is studying, right, the neighbor for me, but they have a choice, I'm not saying that I am dictating a choice to them, but I'm just saying for discussion sake, the lifestyle and the difference. You know, while my son is studying, the neighbor and their children, they are preparing for carnival. And carnival entailed loud music. And they would play loud music and be disturbing my son from studying. Right? No, like I say, I can't dictate on the neighbor how to bring up their child. Right? They grew their child to their dislike, to their liking, and what they want their child to be. If they want to be their child to be a pan man or a mass man or a DJ or whatever, that is their business. But I know what I want for my child, right? And therein lies the difference in the culture. And I think the time for discussion, right? And we need to take some serious action now. The time for discussing is gone. It's gone out they threw out the child with the bathtub, everything. When you see that people can't be these little miscreants and them, they going into invading your home, your privacy, and trying to set you on fire. Old people, they don't even have respect for old people, right? So the thing about it, right, the government is seriously not concerned about these things. Otherwise, the Prime Minister would have been here seeing what our affairs, right? And making stringent rules and laws, and getting the AG to draft laws, and the Director of Public Prosecution and the Chief Justice, right, in serious meeting to draft laws to hold parents responsible for their child action, and have serious laws to deal with that now, because it's the children, like I went into the detail earlier, right, who bring up their children to their liking, you know, and they need to be serious laws now, right, not discussion, right, that would say, okay, your child was caught in a robbery, right, and they have X punishment for that, right, and things like that, and that You will see how fast these parents would train their children differently. I thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, DV, and good afternoon, the guests.
Yes.
The best way to deal with children, all I guess, is to always penalize and go down the road of carnival and tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I know the racist direction you're going, but let me maintain the conversation better. Because you always go in there with a comparative analysis about who disruptive and who should be pan and who like carnival. I wouldn't take the. I want to hit him on that now. But my thing is, there must be a to the to your guest, Now, I know we have all sort of social worker and so on dealing with the student. Do we have a system to deal with the parents? Because if we do anger management as far as the children are concerned, what about the root cause, which is coming from the home that has that degree of like anger and so on? And I remember, David, not on your program, but on BASIS program, we were talking about the whole question of from the hospital, from the point of birth, where you had nurses a long time at visiting the home and reporting as to whether or not the child was good enough to grow up in such a home, because people's constitutional right to have children, just anyhow, you have children, could end up with a lot of children not in proper homes. So my thing is, do we have a system to deal with parents in the context, not as draw, predict, lock them up and so on, because I know what you're talking about, but do we have something like that as a remedial measure to deal with the parents together with the students? Thank you, Davey. All the best.
Ms. Amber, would you like to respond?
So I know for a fact, NFS, the National Family Services, they do have a parent training program that will empower parents and teach parents these, or teach them the skills bank necessary to be better parents. Many times we do refer our clients to the National Family Services to facilitate and to participate in such training. I know there are some school social workers and guidance officers who tend to do same parenting training with a group of their parents. So let's see, these children are engaging their attention. Sometimes during the vacation period, they have sessions with parents to, again, improve their skills bank when it comes to parenting. So there are free parent training skills sessions available for parents. So it's not for lack of trying on our end. But I have to remind the nation as well and your listeners that we cannot force a parent to participate in anything. The same way we cannot force a child to take part or to even engage with a school social worker. They have themselves have to want to improve their skills and to improve their family life. All we can do is make the referrals and offer them these services that will help them improve the family structure.
So here's the question I want to ask you. You mentioned something earlier in the conversation about only a child's biological parent can intervene or discipline a child. Can a relative or neighbor physically intervene in terms of disciplining children? I ask you that question because many years ago, when I was before I became a teenager, my little sister and I, my mom would go to the supermarket or she would get up and go out, visit the grocery store, whatever. She would be like, you know what? You and your sister stay inside for me, please. I don't want nobody out in the yard. Our yard wasn't blocked at the time. And, you know, when she comes back, we are allowed to come outside and play. However, this one day, my sister and I decided that we're going outside and play. And we will catch it before mommy comes back. And we'll get back inside. But lo and behold, we was playing some football or some ball in the yard. And the ball went into the roadway. And either myself or my sister sought to go after the ball. And a car almost take one of us. And the neighbor rush out, she's now deceased, Miss Mavis run outside and grab at us and buff us up. And, we give her a little attitude like, you know, he's not my mother. And that woman sort of disciplined us that when mommy reached home, it wasn't why you touch my child or why you have my child saying no here, you know. We get licks because the neighbor had the cause to talk to us. And, you know, we were sitting in the neighbor's house in her gallery, very quiet and poised, waiting on mommy to reach home for us to face mommy at that stage, because the neighbor had to discipline us because we were fighting and quarreling as children in the yard, ball gone in the road, we gone behind it, almost got knocked down, and she had to step in. So that was some years ago to now. You mentioned a little while in the program that only a child's biological parent, based on the law, can discipline. So now comes into question neighbors and step-parents. Mommy marries this man or daddy marries this woman and we are giving problems and now we have to be disciplined. But if the law dictates that nobody other than the child's biological parent can intervene or discipline, What happens in the case of a neighbor seeking the good interest of children, an aunt, uncle, or grandparents, and step-parents?
So, my response to that is, Davey, that the physical part of discipline is only for the biological parents. If I, as a neighbor, am seeing a child doing something wrong, I will call out and I'm saying, hi, no, we're not doing that today. And I'm known to do that. I will pull up a child accordingly. My colleagues, her children come sometimes, and if they do something, not because mommy's not here, we're not doing that, and then they sit quietly. So we are not saying, so you see, the law is not meant to take away the village that was responsible for raising the children. The law is to empower parents as well as to protect the rights of a child. So if you as a neighbor, a grandparent, or some or step-parent, you see a child going wrong, you can discipline verbally. You can give them a verbal reprimand. So you're above them saying, hi, or no, we are not doing that. You can take their devices, but I will not ask that you hit the child. Because again, you are not the child's biological parent. A foster parent in the foster care system can physically reprimand a child.
What if dad says, listen, this is Stacy, your stepmom, and you all have to have respect for her. And in my absence, she has permission to whoop your butt if you step out of line. You all have a great day. You all on vacation right now. This is the weekend. Get your homework done. But your stepmother is here. And if you all not listening, she has my permission to put a spanking on you guys. Have a good day. And dad goes to work. Dad says that before he leaves there. Dad gone.
I want to have that conversation with our legal unit first before I prefer an answer to you.
Okay, I accept that because I will be bringing you back on this program. So I have another call.
You're bringing
you back? Of course.
Okay,
listen, I am so loving you right now, and the way, you know, I'm just feeling your vibe. Good afternoon.
All right.
Caller, are you on the line? All right, so 627-3223, 625-2257. All right, call me back. I don't know what's happening. All right, our lines are working. Tune trying to get in. Let me check my WhatsApp messages because I have people messaging me here. Okay. Let me get this one.
But I do want to put in a plug, Dave.
Listen to this.
You know, sometimes we see things, grandparents, uncles, aunts, mommies, daddies, they have concerns for their children. And we always say, if you have a concern, I would like to impress upon your listeners as well, it has to be a legitimate concern. Because as with any hotline, sometimes we do get malicious reports. I don't like your head, so I'm going to call the Insurance Authority for you. But if you have a legitimate concern that a child is being abused in any form or fashion, it could be educational neglect, meaning they're not being sent to school. It could be neglect. The children are outside begging. They come in by the neighbors. Mommy left them. Oh, and that's another thing I need to bring up as well. Gone are the days where we allow our children to be home alone, and we have the oldest one is 12 or 14 or 15, and the youngest one is probably 2 or baby or even 3. We cannot do that. As I tell parents, you have a child supervising children or another child. And then some parents say, well, I'd have the neighbor throw an eye. If somebody was to sneak in the house, the neighbor could throw how much eye they could throw. They won't know what is going on inside the house.
So then
unless
they
physically come across.
No, Miss Grant.
So it is better.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Instead of the neighbor throwing an eye, let the children go by the neighbor now.
Okay.
You understand?
Right. I like
that. So that is what we are saying.
No.
Children must be, the neighbor throwing an eye, and when she throw the eye, the house is afire.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we would have had a case like that recent in Maraval. The children were home alone and fire broke out. And it wasn't a happy ending. So this is why we are telling parents, we cannot leave children home alone, no matter the age. No matter the age. And the TTPS has taken a strong stance against that and will be arresting parents if children are found home alone without any adult supervision.
Well, I am happy to hear you say that. Now, is there some sort of legal ramifications involved? Because recently I chatted with someone. I'm trying to remember who it was. Now, I know you have to go shortly. Yeah? I am now being told by my, you know, distinguished producer that you have another engagement. I was hoping to keep you until I until 3, but I understand you have to leave.
And then another request, Davey.
Well, you know that happening. Miss Amber Grant, that happening for sure.
All right.
Use my brethren. You know, you never eat bread and condensed milk. Me and you in the same boat. So you coming back for
Excellent.
Now, back on serious track here. I did witness in my community a woman that left her children unattended. And I talk in children, 7 and 6 and 4 and thing. And police did come. Now, I'm seeing her walking around still. So maybe she was arrested or reprimanded, but she outside. So I'm asking you this. Is there some sort of legal age that a parent can now depart and leave an elder sibling in charge of the younger ones? I was told that only at the age of 18 can a sibling be left alone to babysit others. Anything 16, 15, 17, that's deemed underage, that's deemed a child, and you can be arrested and charged if you leave a 15-year-old to look after the 10 and 11-year-old. I want to know if that is fact or fiction.
That is fact, sir, because according to the legislation, a child is anybody under the age of 18, which is 0 to 17, 0.99999.
Mm-hmm.
By the time when you cross into 18, you are legally an adult. So therefore, even a 17-year-old should be left home alone to supervise a child.
We look at American television and we see where, you know, high school kids be getting babysitting gigs. That does not apply to us in Trinidad.
Let me get legal. Let me take note of that. Babysitting gigs for little children, for young people.
Right, because I am looking at, you know, we watch American sitcoms and we see 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds getting a babysitting gig and making a few dollars while parents go out, have dinner and come back. I'm asking, I mean, you just made a very, very serious legal statement about the adult of someone in this country is now deemed at the age of 18. Big up Werner for that, because I'll tell you, at the age of 16, an individual could have given consent to sexual activity. At the age of 17, you can obtain a license to drive a motor vehicle, which is still law in this country. But you only at the age of 18, you can buy alcohol and cigarettes. Now, a 16-year-old child or young or individual could have had sex back then at the age of 16, but couldn't buy a cigarette, couldn't buy a beer. I found that to be so ironic and erroneous, because I can drink alcohol at the age of 18 legally, but I can give consent to have sexual relations with someone at the age of 16. I Werner came into government.
So that no longer.
That
so
is
that
no,
no
longer.
Pertains.
No.
No, no, no. Nobody under the age of 18 can give consent to have sexual intercourse.
You know, we have the Romeo and Juliet clause that we don't ever talk about, right?
The Romeo clause.
Oh, the Romeo clause. Sorry. I like to add Juliet to it. But we have the Romeo clause that, you know, the police persons in authority seldom want to mention. But I will probably call you privately and we'll have discussions on it. Because I know it exists. But people don't talk about it because, you know, it can give excuse and it can put people in a situation where, hey, if we under this umbrella, we could get away. But anyway. With that being said,
and then when they do that, they open themselves to unwanted teenage pregnancies and STDs and STIs. And then children's authority have to come in and ask her how long you're having sex with a young man or how long you and a young lady have. Do you really want me to come in and ask those questions?
Yeah, that's kind of intrusive and evasive. My lines are going crazy, so I have to bring you back. But I have one final question for you this afternoon, and it has to come off of the heels of what we saw on social media with that woman in Port of Spain. Now, I'm not speaking about that incident, but here's the question I want to ask you. Is video recording of abuse of children used as evidence to remove a child from a home or from the care of a caregiver?
So from the children's authority perspective, it is when if we get the video and we go out and we realize, yes, this is what is really happening, we can use that to remove the children from the home to either another no, that's another thing I need to say. When we remove children from a home, we don't automatically say we put them in a group home. The first step is to find a family member. Mommy, daddy, granny, uncle, auntie, cousin, nene, friend, somebody who's willing to care for these children.
I am, right? listen, I am happy. I know you had to go, eh? I know you have to go. I don't know where you go. But hear what I'm telling you. You have to come back on my show in the afternoon drive sometime next week. That's how early I want to bring you back. Because in the drive time hour...
I know the communication manager is listening, so I'm sure she's taking notes.
Well, I just letting you know, in that particular space, we have a lot of persons going home from work, in the taxis, in their cars. And I'm now being told we have somebody on Monday, but... on a different segment, but I want you back, you know, Miss Amber Grant. I have one. Oh, are you
Mr.
open?
Navy?
Yeah, girl. Me and you good. We see eye to eye, man.
We good.
We good because you're white.
Let me just finish this point, though.
Go ahead.
With the evidence from TTPS side, so I had to call my people in the police and ask them for sure. What they are saying is video evidence is secondary evidence. What they will still need, based on the laws that they operate under, the victim will have to give us, should give a statement to the police. The video evidence can either corroborate or unsubstantiate what the child is saying, the victim is saying. If it does corroborate what the victim is saying, the police will then approach the person who would have videotaped the incident, ask for their statement. If the person does refuse, they can ask for a warrant to retrieve the phone to get the video from the phone.
Now, hear the thing.
But yes, video evidence is sufficient to remove the child.
Because what I'm looking at, right, in Port of Spain, when that incident took place, police officers did intervene eventually. And they were seen asking the woman, and she would, I don't want to answer no question. The police was cautioning her, letting her know, we are police officers. This is not a security officer or security guard questioning you. We are legal officers of the country. And, you know, I didn't watch the rest of the video, but I'm saying, I wanted to know if video, you know, is sufficient, because everything right now is pull out your phone and record before lending an aid or attempting to rescue.
It can be used as evidence.
I'm happy to hear that. So persons out there, it's a thin line between how you treat with the matter in terms of intervening yourself and physically trying to assist, but your video and your comments, I urge all those of the public, listening public, don't curse in the video now. Do your
Please.
Video and don't use the obscene language. And when the mother so-and-so, you hate any child for? Don't do them thing. Ma'am, could you stop abusing the child like that? You're being recorded. The police will see this.
Correct.
Talk in that type of way. Don't move away from the abusive language, the obscenities. You don't need to say that. I know our emotions will get the better of us and we will be so angry to see a defenseless child being abused whether by a parent, a dad, or a mom. Please restrain yourself when recording such incidents from cursing and abusive speech. Because bear in mind, the same child that you are trying to or advocating
trying
for
to protect is hearing that language.
Hearing that foul language coming from you.
Correct.
So be responsible. Record, because to put your hand in the matter might be a little troubling, especially if there's a domestic abuse between a man and a woman. You know, I shame to think if you're a man recording something and you try to rescue a woman and the man blow you out. So keep out of the people business, a little bitish, but record it. And while doing so, raise an alarm for others to see, so that somebody could stop a patrol vehicle somewhere along the line and get the police involved. But
definitely.
Do not, yes, you know, and that's my 25 cents there to add to Miss Amber Grant, who chatted with us from the Children's Authority Interventions Manager here. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. I know you're hearing it in my voice.
So did I, Mr. Davey. But, you know, I am willing to come back on the show and, yeah, to shed more light on what we do and what are the laws under which we operate.
And
what we can and cannot do.
I am now putting it out to my producer. I'm not going to call her name on radio, but I'm going to let Melissa know that she needs to get in touch with you. All right. I'm going to protect her identity. And we're going to talk to Miss Cheryl Moses. Good afternoon, Miss Cheryl Moses, if you're listening. please permit, you know, Amber Grant to talk with us a little bit more. I know she have to go. So, Miss Amber, that 15-year-old son you have.
Yes.
If you, I asking, not for a friend, for me, because my child is almost heading there. He's almost 15. And I watching this youth tall like me right now and looking like he'll get taller than me. But I show him a little bench room and a taller table to the bench. And I told him, up to yesterday, brethren, I will stand here and discipline you. And when you get a little taller, I'll go up on the next level. But there is no way in your wild imagination that I, daddy, will be afraid of you. You hear what I telling you?
Correct.
So make up your mind, because we're going and go down that road. Because in my mind, I said to my son, up to this morning, I said, daddy shows you love, mom shows you love. We have given you your tablets. We provide you. You have AC in your room. You just go home in the night, the place making warm, you turn on, poop. We had one fan. And when daddy home, crap, you got to make a copybook and fan. Because daddy hold the whole Lasco, you can't get that. And then we had one television when I was growing up. In our house, we have multiple. And you have devices that you can watch things on. So we have given you those things. I'm not asking you to do much. You have some chores that I started giving him.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of dealing with the dishes, taking out the garbage.
Correct.
He's like, but dad, I say, hey, brothers, you lucky I still iron your clothes for school. Because at your age, I was ironing my own clothes to go to school. So take your time. That coming. But you see this table here? I climbing up on this table here, and I will deal with you and cut you down to size. So don't feel because you're watching my face, square in my face now. As a teenager, you're watching me in my eye because he's tall like me, wearing my shoes too.
All right. You know, my son knows, don't let me talk more than twice.
I let my child know if I had to speak
don't
to you.
Don't let me say it more than twice.
Well, here, why tell
my... Because we wrangled.
Yeah, I tell my son, if
and
I get up...
My whole thing is, you looking for me to lose my job. You looking for
oh,
me to lose
my job. I tell my son, so, I say, if I get up from here, I'm not getting up for no reason. I just let you know, I'm very comfortable where I lie long on this couch, watching my TV. If I had to move, I'm not moving. And then he has a little brother, and oh gosh... Amber, they're fighting, they're quarreling. But what I love about my sons is that when one is not there, they miss each other. And there is this, where, daddy, where is, I say, well, you know, he went to school because you wasn't feeling well and you was, but dad, and then when he asks his brother, come, Maria, what went on in school today? And they talking for a few minutes and then the fight starts. They will fight over one piece of Lego.
That's nice. And I just have one, so.
Nah, man, you gotta get our next one.
Okay, so David, thanks for having me on the show.
I just wanted to know, I am the guy from Bling My Wedding. I custom dealing with putting couples together. I just find people, you know, that on the kitchen sink. So if you're, you know, I will help you get a significant other to get that second baby, don't you?
Okay, bye-bye.
Miss Grant is like, okay.
Thank you so much to you on Freedom 106.5 for having us on.
Of course.
And thank you to your listeners for the spirited conversation that we had today.
Indeed so. And as I said before, no stranger to the studio. You will be invited to come back next week. Let's have more dialogue. Let's get those laws in here. Let's figure out, you know, the best way that we can discipline our children, because they are going into an era that is so far and distant from what we know as children growing up, and we need to help them. I find when I use the word son, I am not here to beat you or discipline you. I need to help you. I get more from him.
Correct.
I get more from him.
That's right. Correct.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.